Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 1818, White Court Catnip, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Interlocutor. The formal word for one who takes part in dialogue or conversation.
Chapter 34. Ramirez arrives to help Harry, and they go over the plan for the White Court. Molly comes and pleads her case to be allowed to help Harry as well.
Make sure you're making his cameo appearance. Don't really have anything to do.
But look, he still exists.
He's still here. He's in my life. I still, the cat I love is not all about mouse eating people.
If Mr. listened just a little more, I'd bring him around too. But
I haven't had to send Bob out for anything, so I don't need the Mr. Mobile.
Yes, Harry tends to the fur babies and does busybody work to distract himself.
So, yeah. I like it. Just the quick prep work, you know. Hit the punching bag a few times to bring up something to the kinetic rings.
I know, which on the one side, fair, right? Something is better than nothing. On the other hand, what have you been doing for the whole point of these?
It's to charge all day long while you're running around.
Is that, yeah, every time you move your hand. So I was like, I can see maybe you don't want.
It's that little OCD moment. Did I turn the oven off? Did I lock the door?
Whatever.
He's not wearing, I'm sure he's got to put them on. He's like, I go and put on all my silver jewelry. And I'm like, again.
Because he let them all go off down at the docks, right?
Oh, right, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So they were more or less empty down at the docks. Since then, he slept, kind of. He was unconscious, but he slept. And then he did his run around with the Marcone bullshit, whatever. And then he came back to the apartment.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that he had deployed them all or most of them or whatever.
So I'm sure he's gotten something from doing his run around, but yeah, not much.
Even if he hasn't needed them in like a few weeks, like the last few days he's been, but you're right. I'm like, oh yeah, he was wearing them. He did use them. So okay, that's completely fair then that he hasn't recharged them in like a day or two.
Okay. Not even this morning or last night or whatever.
Yeah. So, right. Okay.
So Ramirez shows up to save him from the rest of the busybody work, and then points out that his words are pretty hefty right now. Gotta show the
feel them girl. Like throbbing around, like, yeah, not even activated. Ramirez is like, whoa, dude.
And then unfortunately Ramirez pulls a Bob.
Oh,
it's okay, here's the thing. Harry being a horn dog is part of his character, okay? It's been here since the beginning, okay? Bob being a horn dog, influenced by Harry, whatever, that's who Bob's been since the beginning, okay? Everyone else is supposed to be at least somewhat normal. Ramirez, don't do this to me.
Oh, but what is Ramirez? An early 20-somethings male. No offense, early 20-something
males. They
don't
all have to be gross.
I don't know. From the official, like, man-hater relationships are pointless. Have you let...
The official man-hater here,
Have you met a lot of redeeming early 20-year-olds that aren't all talking about getting some?
Yeah, most of the ones I know, honestly, are too shy to say anything.
She plays D&D. Come on.
Yeah, they're a bunch of nerds.
Although I have to... I prove that Ramirez is really kind of a cat person and pays homage to...
Yeah, he's like, we know who's really in charge here. He's like, why would you
some kitty bribes.
Anything? He's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Ramirez is smart. He knows what's up. He might be a dumb 20-something guy, but he's not stupid. But
well, kind
yes.
of. He did start flapping his mouth before he checked, but yes.
Well, yes, he did. But this is also the thing. Like, I sort of feel this is more even Ramirez's character than even Harry's, because Harry...
Carlos is a flirt, but he's just being gross right now.
Well, yeah, he's being a little bit more gross right now, yeah. But that's the thing is exactly that.
Locker room talk.
Harry...
right.
Because Harry is so much more chivalrous otherwise. I think that's part of why it bothers me more sometimes coming from him because he's all like, women are to be respected and Elaine is just as strong as I am. But then every time in his own, yeah, then he's like, oh, but she had boobs and there's the boobs
and
there's
I've seen
the boobs,
those boobs.
And then there's the boobs and then of course there's the other
I pictured
boobs.
Her as a true naked raw self.
Yeah, 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 because that's the only way.
It's just always just a fraction of a second too long.
And then I added gas prices to that nubile naked body and all of a sudden I was like, all right.
I could probably let it go if it were like just shorter, but it's just because it's like that one extra
but that's
step.
That's why I think it's so right. Whereas, yeah, Ramirez, I mean, since again, it is a little bit more. But yeah, before Ramirez was always like, the women love me. I'm all about the women. I'm
but
getting all
this. This is also
like,
probably a setup for him later when they actually.
Well, obviously, that's part of it, too, is to drive that point right. home because.
Wah, wah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Or not as this, maybe. But
there's flirty. And
but
there's
there
gross.
Is. Yeah. And he's like, oh,
all
that
beforehand, Ramirez. And also, it's been about. You know, fictional women, you know? This is somebody who's like, oh, your actual apprentice, Harry.
That you were at her almost execution, like, a year ago or whatever it's been now, like, exactly. But, yeah, I feel Harry here when he's like, dude, I've known her since she was in Pigtail. Like, it's not even... Yeah. Like, yeah, in the broader scheme of things, there might not be a massive age gap between them, but we're still talking, like, 10-ish years, which is enough when you're, like, 19 and 29.
It wasn't so long ago that she was underage at that trial, too. Like,
well, that's, yeah, that was the thing, too. She was still
this
seven.
Should leave an imprint on you, friend.
Mm-hmm.
Should leave an imprint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Smoking hot or not. Come on, Carlos. But yes, he does kind of rein him and he's like, oh yeah. And then, yeah, oh wait, she's not here, is she? Oh, fuck you. Would have served you right if Molly kicked your ass.
I do like, though, that they have progressed to the relationship that Harry can call him in and be like, hey, I'm about to do something really dumb. You want to come with?
We're going to stir some shit
you
up.
You know, Ramirez isn't quite the level of warden where he's like, this is so dangerous. We should not be doing it. He's like, ah, all right.
So Ramirez's home base is in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just popped in for the weekend.
Like, does he, like, fly or does he use, like, the Never Never?
Probably not because, according
like,
to...
Because, like, this just seems like it's so fast for them to be like, come on, go on over, buddy.
I'm going
to
go with option number two because Harry always says he hates you. Especially in recent years, he has stopped flying altogether because the last time he did, he almost took a...
Right, because, like, then getting from L.A. to Chicago is a hoof.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, yeah, he did it wizardly ways and stuff like that. He did something because, again, Carlos is younger like Harry, but again, having been through the wars, I think Carlos is up to his...
I just saw
like,
this movie that has port keys in it. Let's try it.
I do think, though, yeah, cool. The wardens have gotten a master class in the ways that even Harry hasn't necessarily received, you know? He hasn't...
He's got no training. Harry got a cloak and the responsibility and none of the perks. You don't get a sword. You don't get any training.
But because
you don't
of
get
the
a map.
Leah aspect, Harry was more afraid of using the ways than even other wizards necessarily.
That is true. He
was being actively hunted. Then he went and messed with the Earl King and he went and attacked Arctis Tor. Like,
yeah.
Going to the ways for him is a little bit more dicey than your average person.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it's probably a lot easier and safer.
Yeah, so I imagine, besides getting more training, yeah, it's also still risky, but not as targeted as it is for Harry.
Ramirez is like, I only have to worry about, like, randomly something happening.
Yeah.
There's 20 things that are, like, actively targeting Harry if he crosses over. So, yeah, me, it's like, it's like walking home at night alone, whereas, this is like walking into gang territory wearing someone else's color. So.
Yeah. So for that reason, I think, yes, it was a little bit easier for Ramirez to get here via ways.
So part of the plan is at least now revealed. Part of it. So we're going to stomp into the middle of a big meeting of the White Court, call a couple of the murderers, challenge them to a duel, and then kill them right in front of all their friends and relatives, right?
Right, yep.
About it. Whoa, Lisa's got simplicity working for it.
So something somewhere happened where we weren't paying attention, where he managed to call Ramirez and ask him to come and fax a bunch of shit to Marcone. There was a little bit of time skip, assuming when he went to go hose off Mouse or something like that, but it's just like, it's more of that, not necessarily unreliable narrator, but just like, fuck Harry. I've gotten several friends right
so
now.
So much for that show not
series.
Do, or like, show don't tell.
Yeah, but one of my friends, his biggest complaint about the series, he's like, I want to solve the mystery too, but there's always eventually a chapter near the end where Harry just goes and does stuff that's not on papers. You can't keep track. You can't predict the plot. You just don't get all the information, right?
Yeah.
He's like, I like in detective novels, where you do get all the information and you can possibly be smart enough to get to it before the final page too, you know?
I guess, eh?
So he's like, I do not like that about the Dresden Files. And I was like, I kind of get where you're coming from, but I was like, in the specific one-off events that happens, for the overarching plot, there's enough kind of connection.
I was going to say, I get what he's, because I like to do that too, right? I like to figure it out. But I think I would say for the most part, you get the clues to the mystery. What you miss more often sometimes
is Harry's own genius.
It's quite how Harry pulls it together or his solution to...
No, not necessarily all the facts of the case. He does that all on paper. It's more
Like you more know what is, right? Because like we know what's going on. I mean, again, Mary's just like, we're going to go in and we're going to confront everybody and we're going to, right?
But still, he's like, it's can more you pass a note to
Michael?
The details
of his big reveal is
But
is,
yeah,
is
it's
scary.
More just like, how is Harry?
God forbid a wizard and or detective have a mic drop.
Right? Like, it's not Harry's whole reason on Death Star. This is just like...
I really, 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 really like those Now You See Me movies. And yeah, like, I think it's great when they get to the end and they're like, how did we do it? And then they go through it on. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck! Because I'm dumb. I don't try to predict anything ever. But I just take the story as it is and I get to be so fascinated by the end. But.
Which it has its own kind of rewards then when you're not.
So I think one of the things I really like about this is while they're hashing all these details out of this plan, Ramirez keeps pulling out all of this like heavy ass hardware. And grenades. I decided that I wanted to screenshot all of his equipment and his outfit just so I could visualize it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is that a couple of those walking skier poles? Are those like real tiki torches?
No, that's his
saber.
That's his saber.
Oh,
that's
his sword. Sword.
And I picked that picture because it has like the vampire teeth would be on the.
Gotcha. Yeah, just from here, all I can see is like two sticks with like a green end on it. It almost looks like you say like the.
Yeah, no, that's the style of sword.
But yes,
though.
Got you. It's a sword with a scabbard with
and
a thingy.
And in high school, I did have a friend that would constantly wear that exact Offspring shirt almost every single day.
Nice.
They were a fan.
It's a good band.
Obviously. The Desert Eagle, I don't know if he's pulled it out yet, but Thomas is also a fan of the Desert Eagle, or will be.
Well, I'm wondering, because this is post that graphic novel.
War Cry.
Good job.
I wanted to say War Crimes. I'm like, that's not right, but kind of.
It's what he's doing, but it's not what it is.
This is post War Crimes. War Cry. Damn it, look what you did to me.
It is what it is. Both post
and Deadbeat and a couple of instances where Carlos has come and worked with Harry and or Harry's friends and been like, man, these guys are bringing everything they own to these fights, okay? The cop lady and the vampire and the werewolves don't bring anything but themselves, but still, I'm like, so Carlos is like, you know what? Yeah, fuck it. The staff and the goddamn rapier aren't enough. Well, what else can I strap to my body and bring? It just seems like he's kind of learning from Harry and being like, you know what? Yeah, if I've got a pocket for it, I'm bringing it.
Yeah, what was it? Deadbeat that he like probably saw that the most where he pulls out the gun.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, War Cry. Yeah. When it was Thomas.
Because he kills Lucho with it.
Yep.
Boom.
Fantastic. Oh, I like it a lot.
Yeah. So we also find out that the there's not going to be any backup because the warden, most of the wardens are in India dealing with a big daddy Rakshasa.
Of course.
And if you weren't sure what that was.
We can't have overwhelming odds in Harry's favor.
It's a malevolent demon or fiend. And I took a, like, a, I did a, an image search, and for whatever reason, a lot of them look like tigers.
Yes.
You know it if you watch Critical Role, who it is.
That also, actually did come up, too, in my searches.
What was it? Was it Iron Druid that had the Rakshasa?
Oh, probably. I haven't read those in a long time, though.
But
they're becoming Harry Dresden style. I don't remember the series anymore.
Yeah. But I feel like it was, like, that series or something like that.
But probably. They had all cultures of religious stuff.
Yeah. They had all kinds of different ones. But this is that overall influence that Ramirez was mentioning before about how the younger ones are looking at Harry and they're not doing everything, all the old stodgy way. So both in the exact example of seeing Harry pull out a gun, but also him being like, oh yeah, you know what? I don't have to rely just on my little wands or whatever, right? I can
use
just
every
like
tool
mortal damage as well as, but anyways.
So basically anybody else that can help though, like, so Ramirez's people aren't up to task for it. And then Lucio and the baby warden trainees.
No trainees.
No, not happening.
No, we know not after New Mexico.
No, never again. Never again.
But yes, and I mean, hopefully, ultimately, it's not really because they're not going in for a whole manpower fight. They're trying to just draw out, right? They're going to challenge a couple of people and under the accords if the whites are willing to play fair.
And looking at that alone, plan is not bad. Yeah, Bramira says that there's definitely some flaws in it because, well...
They could cheat and lie and, yeah, exactly.
But what he also doesn't know is that he's got Laura slightly in his pocket. Yeah, well, he's not sharing that.
I was going to say, not so much in his pocket, but yeah, on his side. Yeah. Working.
And regardless of that.
Willing to keep the peace.
No matter who's in charge. Yeah, please, kill our enemies. And the whites want us there to do their dirty work for them, matter of fact.
Even them just showing up, even if it's not playing by their quite entirely by their rules, it makes the interlopers of this whole plan look stupid because they got that caught.
Well, yeah. Either way, Lara comes out on top. She can either just kill Harry and Ramirez, and then she's down to powerful wizards and wardens that are she can let Harry and Ramirez come in and kill off a couple of her competitors, which is not
a
problem.
If anything,
she can
an opportunist.
Right, like exactly like almost no matter how it plays out is she's like whatever I can.
Oh why another win-win for me?
Yeah. Win-win.
Well, essentially,
right?
Yeah, Harry's like, if we have any allies, it'll be a secret right until the last second. Like they can't tell us they're our allies, so cross your fingers and hope, haha.
Right, the old double cross of the double cross of the double cross. Mm-hmm.
The best way to win this is be everyone's cat's paw, hopefully.
Hopefully someone's is the biggest and hopefully it's ours and it will do the eventual final sweep of clearing the board.
So Molly does arrive at the house, giving Ramirez a brief startle. He seems to be just a little bit on edge. But she asks Kent to speak with Harry and...
Didn't I fucking tell you? What the fuck are you doing here again? Molly. Fucking.
Like, it's so frustrating because he's like, he gets Ramirez to go gas up the beetle to give them some privacy and then just immediately won't let her talk.
Well, yeah, right. Why are you even here? But also, I mean, what was the timeline there? Murphy's like, oh, where's the kid? And he's like, oh, she was like falling asleep on her feet, so Stallings took her home for me. And then he immediately goes home, and then Molly's right back here. Like, what'd you do? She got dropped off and immediately turned around
again?
She's 19. She's taken lots of no-dos.
Oh, he did it.
He's
gone home and slept and done all his putter. So they have had like a day, because they're waiting until sundown anyway. So yeah, she has had a day to go home and recuperate.
Right, sure.
So... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if she slept any better than Harry watching, mouse devour bodies and
touché
stuff. It might have been a shitty sleep for her, but yes, there has been enough time for her, too. But yeah, one of the things I love about working with Ramirez, the possibility of losing the duel simply doesn't enter into it. Which, again, is nice. You need that confidence.
Yeah. This is so, like, even now I really don't understand his whole secret lesson with Molly. The whole point was, the beads were never going to move. It wasn't about power. It was about smarts and using your brain. I'm like...
I'm not on board with his lesson either.
I
don't like it.
She finally knew...
What, the consequences of her actions? That she's dumb?
That she didn't know. Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know? I don't know. His lesson's weird. I don't know, some weird Miyagi bullshit.
It feels obtuse to me.
It is.
And I just don't get how you're ever supposed to win that. Like, you're supposed to concentrate on the beads. And that'll never work.
Well, it did, because remember she said, she's like, oh, I got like 6 of them yesterday. So there
right,
was
but clearly that wasn't by
of...
concentrating on the beads. Clearly that was because she was, I don't know, just focused in other ways. I don't know.
Again, I think that the lesson here was, again, that you can be focused and that's not, you've got all that. It's, again, admitting you don't know everything yet. You give into your higher power, whatever, right?
But also, if the lesson required Harry to be here to then explain it, is it even a good lesson? Like, oh, you burst your bracelet, good job. If she'd been at home when she did that, I'd have been like, okay, great, I'm powerful now, perfect, done. Let me go show Harry, like...
Maybe, but it was...
Feels more to me like a delay tactic, like he doesn't even really know what he's trying to teach her, but
yeah,
it's like...
Yeah, it does seem more just delaying her, yeah. Yeah, if it's drawing her out, then that is what it worked well for. But for the whole, like... Oh, the beads will only work when you admit you're a fucking moron. Like, your lesson's stupid and dumb, and I don't like it.
Yeah, which is, again, you're entitled to that. I mean, Molly thought it was stupid and dumb and didn't like it either. So, but no, I don't think I was as disappointed in it as I think I sort of, at least I felt like I got more what he was trying to.
It just seems to me like he was waiting for her to express more empathy. And so when she
does. I think that's part of it. And like you say, she might have come to it on her own, but she wasn't. Because just talking to herself, she's like, I know all this. Like,
maybe it was the verbal explanation, but I don't think that, the way he put
it. That point of coming to her.
The point, like, because Molly, when she's basically here, like, not on her knees, but essentially on her knees being like, listen, I'll do whatever you want. Like, I don't want to see it. Okay, that fucking sucked, but you are doing it every day because it's the right thing to do. I want to do it every day because it's the right thing to do. Whatever you think I need to do, I want to do it. If it's answering the phone, if it's driving the car, if it's whatever, she's like, bench me whoever you see fit, but let me be involved in some way, shape, or form because
don't bench me, but yeah.
Well, I have knowledge of what's happening and I don't want to sit out and just let it pass me by or whatever like that. That's all very fair. I mean, that was essentially why Molly did the black magic in the first place. Her friends were doing drugs while they had a baby coming into the world. Like, that's what pushed Molly to do it. She was overarchingly trying to do something for the good reason. She wasn't just, you know,
I'm gonna control my boyfriend.
She didn't break into her boyfriend's mind because he cheated on her. She was, like, upset about it, too, but it was because there was a baby coming. She's like, okay, you guys can't be doing all these drugs when there's a baby coming. And
yeah,
because
Harry tries to explain that it's like that she has to understand her limitations and the reason for doing things. Well, and that was part of my point is that she already understood the reasons of her trying to rewrite her friend's brains. She just didn't
but
know the
consequences.
Yeah.
But what she has been doing every step of this book is throwing all that out the window and doing whatever the fuck she wants anyways. And that's right,
and I get
point.
That's Harry's point is that you need to know there's consequences for these actions, and if being traumatized by face melty things and bloody corpses everywhere you go is the consequences that you're inflicting on yourself, then so be it. However, I just think his bead test is dumb.
But that's
stupid.
What I mean. Because she said she learned it, she said she got it, but then everything she was doing was demonstrating the opposite. So this was Harry taking that moment to be like, okay, you're saying one thing and doing the other until you can and realize that it's not right.
And so is he.
Because he says, you think I'm a friggin' idiot, too stupid to make these kinds of judgments on my own. And she's like, no, because he's like, I'm telling you, my judgment says you're not ready, and you keep fucking showing up. And you're like, yes, I am. So you haven't taken that lesson, and you haven't learned it. You're not living it. You're paying lip service to it.
But he must have enchanted the bracelet, right? Because before I thought it was just beads on a string. Okay, you do some sort of telekinesis, they'll move. But clearly if they're, like, hardwired to react to, I don't know, Molly showing
good
hesitation, I don't know, then they finally explode.
It's kind of that, like in giving up and releasing the power, you've got the power. So the harder she's... It's kind of like a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah.
The harder she's, like, reaming at this thing, it's never, ever, ever, ever going to let her go. And the moment she realizes, oh, I'm stuck, I can't fight against this, and relaxes and lets go, boom, you're out of the... Like, I think it's just more of, like, a mental thing that way, that was his point, is that... And again, every fucking day living with a 7-year-old again. I'm not arguing with you. Yes, you... No, I'm not. Thank you. But the very act of you just saying you're not arguing, you are arguing with me, right? Is that... Yeah, I think that's it. It's
I don't know.
Making
we're, like,
her,
we're on the that. Cusp of it. Like, I kind of get what Harry was trying to do. I just don't like the way he did it.
And that's fair. That's fine. But
yeah. I think I'm on board with, like, it's just not a... It could have been written in a more clear...
So once again, let me introduce you to Harry Dresden. He's a wizard.
He's dumb.
They don't tell you how to do shit. They keep everything to themselves.
Maybe it's intentionally, like, because of his own, like, conflicting things and Murphy having to call him on the same exact shit.
But the Ebenezer allegory made a lot of sense, okay? Harry was a fucking upset, traumatized kid, and just working the farm every day was a good way just to tire him out at the end of the day and keep him occupied. Like, to me, that made sense. Molly having to move beads on a string to fucking learn how to, I don't know, not rush into things. It's just, I don't know, like, to think things through. I don't know.
I think that was it. It's that when she finally was willing to, you know, truly listen, truly write it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. That's fine.
Either way,
but then this is why I thought
the okay.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I thought too. A little bit of Ramirez being like, "Do we have any backup?" And Harry being like, "We'll see." He's because like I think he was still like, "Molly, you'll probably show up anyways. We'll see if I send her home or not."
Exactly.
Ding dong.
I mean, obviously, there may be more than just, but yeah, exactly. He was like, "Okay, given she's shown up, is she gonna show up? And is she gonna? Am I gonna have to send her home and bench her, or is
she gonna step
the penny
up?
Finally gonna drop?" And she's,
I mean, at the very least, Harry does give her empathy about feeling stupid at the end, like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he kind of always does. He kind of always wraps up his meanness with being like, "But hey, we're friends, right?" And I'm like,
grumble.
I don't know. Kind of like your babysitter. You go home, you're like, "I fucking hate that motherfucker. You ever fucking bring him home again?"
Firm but gentle, but yes. Yeah.
So Harry assigns her that her job for the whole thing now is to keep watch from the car when they get there for anything that's suspicious, and then to lay on the horn if there does. And then he gives her this, like, Doctor Who sort of sonic whistle that apparently only Mouse can hear.
It's called a dog whistle, Tansy.
it's just the way he describes
it.
Because
it
is, like, a sonic, like, I was like, a Doctor Who whistle?
It does. But hang on, to back it up there to the last thing when he was dealing with Molly, though, where she says, you know, he's like, "Oh, you saw Mouse kill?" And she's like, "It wasn't that." She's like, "I felt it." So that's the other thing, right, is Molly is very sensitive. So again, that's when her, like, eyes were, like, drilling through the car. She could all but see it because she was experiencing every... So that's the other thing that has snapped. Like, oh yeah, it was all shits and giggles when you were experiencing somebody, you know, death by orgasm. Somebody getting burned up and ripped apart by a dog is not so fun.
This is weird.
I think, though, again, I think that's not necessarily the human, not human soul. For, I get it. It's emotions and feelings. And even a terrified ghoul is going to be putting off very strong emotions. And so I think it's more of that. I don't think it's so much the picking up on the humanity of it as simply, I mean, again, she was a couple of feet away from the whole time this is all going down. That, again, she's just so sensitive to whatever is out in the air, whether it's magic, emotion,
yeah,
whatever, is I think just what she can pick up on. So, yeah, I think that can cross the monster barrier or not.
You got me feeling emotion.
But yeah, I think that is imperative to part of her big lesson and her big coming around and suddenly understanding and suddenly being like, exactly, like, this is terrifying, this is awful, but yeah, I see the rightness of doing it, not just the, I have power and you don't, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I never got the impression that she was doing that either, though.
Yeah.
Like, showing up, being headstrong, yes, but, like, she even says, like, well, the reason why she wants to go is because she feels it's the right thing to do. Like, there's nothing that hasn't been inconsistent with her behavior
there's
the whole time.
There's a certain point, too, where it's, I don't know, power trip might be too harsh for Harry. Like, Molly does need to understand the stakes she's playing with. That being said, yeah, even for me as a child, you know, the things you feel are okay to push back on are things that you think don't matter, right? And your parents are just like, well, you're not listening, so it all matters. But it's like, no, because it doesn't fucking matter. So that's why I'm not listening to you, because you're being fucking dumb, okay? If you tell me not to do something, I'm gonna... Like, for example, my mom never once policed me on a single thing that I ever watched or did anything. I went on the internet as much as I fucking
okay,
wanted.
Okay, you know,
because you didn't know. Because you didn't know. We didn't understand what it was like when the internet was new. But I had unfettered access to the whole entire world. And then once in high school, she's like, don't read the Golden Compass books, because my sister told me that they're anti-Christian. And I'd never been told not to read or look
it
at anything before that. I was like,
mother.
Whatever. And I was like, okay, sure. I won't read this one series, you psycho. Who cares? It was the only thing she ever told me not to read. So I was like, fine. Who gives a fuck? I won't read this one series then. There's 8 million other books I gotta read. If she'd been telling me not to read books every single week, I'd have been like, bitch, I'm reading this first. Molly being told not to go to all these places and stuff like that, at a certain point, you're like, bitch, she's not... You know, she's not out there, like, breaking into people's minds, okay? She broke into a crime scene. Technically, that's illegal. But to be fair, she wasn't there to mess with the crime scene on purpose. She
no,
was
but
she wanted
that
to help,
the problem,
okay?
Is that exactly?
I get, I'm just saying, in some ways, some shape or form, you are treating her a little bit too much like a child who doesn't know what she's talking about when you could literally just tell her the reasons and then
I get
do it
that.
Properly.
I'm very much that person, too. If you don't give me a reason for... If I can't see a good reason for it, then I'm going to be like, well, so I'm going to do it my way anyways.
Yeah.
I get that. But again, it doesn't always mean that there isn't a good reason. It just means someone's stupid for not...
Right,
know,
but I totally understand
to you,
that. A lot of the time at
but
work
Harry
when I was being trained,
to explain a lot
they won't
of
tell you why. They say, don't do it this way. And I'm like, well, fuck you, I'm going to do it that way. And then I find out that it burns that way. And I'm like, ah, now I know. But they didn't tell me that beforehand. And I had to do it for myself because I was like, I'm going to figure this out. Now when I'm trying to train, I'm like, if you don't put it through the blender 3 times, it won't emulsify and then it's going to split. But you have to tell them that because they're going to be like, fuck you, bitch. One time in the blender is enough and I got things to do.
It's mixed.
Like,
yeah. Oh, I get that, and to a large degree, yeah, that is just Molly in that age and human nature and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But, I mean, I feel like Harry, not always, because sometimes...
I don't know, I'm on both their sides.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, I just wanted to think again the whole Molly being sensitive and how she is yet another trauma thing, because, yeah, it might have not been fun for, like, Harry or Elaine or Thomas, but, again, Molly gets it on a whole other level that they're
Molly's
not.
Is almost like Lydia's or Abby's in the fact that, like, it's almost... not controllable. She just goes out into the world and she has these premonitions or these like 3-second advances. Molly just has these imprints everywhere she goes and it's harder for her to block it out constantly now and not be taking that all in. Almost like she's walking out around with her third eye constantly open because she's just that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Because she does experience everything in that way, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, but so then she agrees to just sit in the car and honk the horn.
Yeah.
And yeah, she gets she.
You know what job you should do,
she
Molly?
Gets a doctor
magical
dog
therapist.
Right.
Harry says he's not a shrink, but we know he could use one.
It'd be so scary for Molly to like magical therapy though. So she just goes into Harry's head, and then she immediately meets Lash, an evil twin, and she's like, oh, never mind, get me out.
No.
Or maybe she just kills them both,
you're
and Harry
fixable,
has a nice
fixable.
Alrighty.
So she has the instructions that she needs of what her job is, and Ramirez returns with a beetle, and now it is go time!
Oh, wait, one last thing I want to throw in on that. Harry says that she can take Mouse with her, which is, I think, Harry really being kind and nice, because he could absolutely use Mouse.
He could absolutely.
But him not letting Molly do this alone and being like, you'll just
I get Mouse, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I would feel the same way. Okay. I'd be like, I don't want to bench the dog with me out in the car, but okay, when it
happens.
Which
actually is true. He doesn't give Molly the whistle. He keeps the whistle.
Yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, Mouse will find me.
Yeah. Point the car towards
also,
that way.
Also, I kept waiting for him to like hand Ramirez like $30 to fill up the beach. He's like, go gas up the car. And Ramirez is like, okay, bro. I'm like, wow, friends that have like, I don't know, something
he's
approximating
been
a stable
paycheck a little
job.
Longer.
Yeah.
Gas was much cheaper then, too.
But everybody.
Filling up the tank was probably like, here's $5.
You didn't have to pay to fly or drive
down. It never goes down, though, right? Like we always say, gas prices always just rise. So, yeah, obviously there are more, but Harry specifically included that in his pain of life monologue, okay? Yeah. So we know that.
But it's still brutal.
It's still brutal no matter what, especially for Harry. But that's funny. Whereas Buddy is just like, yeah, just go gas up the car for me and like actually has the money to do that.
Yeah, Mirror's like, dick.
I just wanted me to try and grab her something for free Comic Day. And unfortunately, the one she wanted wasn't there. But I went, but the guy's like, oh yeah, you get like two. And he's like, are there 50 cents for other ones? And they had a couple that were kid friendly, like Avatar she's been watching. And
Avatar Archie.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, so I ended up getting four comics in total, but I didn't have, like, I literally had no cash on me. So I, yeah, she just wanted to sit in the car, and I was like, whatever. It was literally $1, but it was just funny because I literally had to be like, I'm like, I don't even have $1. $1.05 on debit, please. But yeah, Ramirez is just like, sure, I'll go.
We're all done.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 35. Harry, Ramirez, Molly, and Mouse make it to the Chateau Wraith. Molly and Mouse wait outside the gate while Harry and Ramirez are greeted by Laura Wraith.
We've been to Chateau Wraith.
Yes.
It's a nice place.
Oh, it's great. We've had nothing but good experiences here.
That's not what I said. I said it was a nice place aesthetically. Not
AKA
a nice place emotionally.
Little Sherwood Forest.
Yes.
So Harry and Ramirez do leave Molly and Mouse a quarter of a mile off the property and
dozens of little rivers and big creeks. Okay, dozens of rivers and creeks on this property.
It's a marsh.
You would think, right? Like, come on, Jesus. Even big. How do you have room for dozens?
It's sinking.
Chicago, hello.
I gotta say, I am pretty impressed that Molly has the ability to actually veil the beetle itself, too.
Damn. This is Harry's point. She's got some damn fucking chops.
Because Harry can't even veil himself, let alone his car.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah, all the exhaust, all the, no.
And once more, Ramirez.
I just filled that car. Now you're just going to run it for like 3 hours? You didn't pay for the gas, Harry.
Yeah, he's also got this really neat, like, metal-laden glove. I can't wait to see what that does.
I feel like that's got to be
like
kinetic.
A gauntlet.
Taken from Harry's idea of kinetic.
Or even his, like, shield. Like,
or she'd brush
it out.
He's like, I saw your hand. Fuck that.
Yeah. The stone.
Not happening to me.
The Eternity Stones.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
The Infinity Stones.
Infinity Stones. Thank you. I was like, the thing with the thing.
I know. I was going to let you struggle over there.
You did. Magic.
Watch you squirm.
Infinity. Yeah.
Because of, Infinity War.
So yeah, they're walking up to the gate, and all of a sudden everything starts like puffing smoke. And it's like, was that you? He's like, yeah, you know.
That, and the cameras and the lights.
Here I was expecting it to be something like me and Ramirez are so like magically buff that everything is just like shorting out the second we get close. And he's like, no, Ramirez is like, no, I totally just blew all this shit for them. Why make it easy?
Yeah.
They can't lock us in. I fucking screwed up the gate, man. All right, Buzz, yeah. Not stupid, hopefully.
My other friend, too, he's like, just does Harry know that he's a cowboy? And then in this chapter, you've got Harry going like, hat, spurs, what's next? Screenshot it and send it to him. I'm like, Harry's also aware.
I also took that as like a dig on the artist who keeps putting him in a hat for all the covers.
Yeah, that too.
Always. Yeah, he makes a few of those digs.
So, you know, with his duster and his cowboy boots, really, he's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as they start walking towards the house, a white limo comes to pick them up, and a bodyguard assures them safe conduct as per accords.
Not good enough.
I love it, right, where Ramirez is like, fuck this. He's like, no, no, like, save ourselves the walk. And he's like, get in the car. Harry's like, no, I don't think so. Why don't we just walk? Like, I just love it, right? Like, you know, he's the little machinations.
Gonna play all these little games.
This race can walk her personal self out here and tell me that her personal self. It's my person.
A chance to sass? Taken.
Right. But also, again, Harry has learned. And I'm like, just because, you know, again, you put that one degree of separation in, and Laura be like, well, that's not exactly what I said. My bodyguard said it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Any number of ways you can twist, deny, right? So even though they've been given safe passage, but she's like, I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
This is the thing. As far as Ramirez is concerned, this isn't the horse's mouth. And yet Harry just suddenly was like, oh, Laura's good enough. As far as Ramirez knows, it should have come from the king, right? And this is why Harry's being so subterfuge and being all like, we're not taking it from a fucking guard. And then Harry's like, oh, one of his daughters? That's fine. That's what to me is a little bit like,
that,
wait a second.
There, that
he
is.
He lets a few things loose.
That is a fair point. You're right. But I can also see a direct descendant of the house
having a little bit more,
being more of a mouthpiece than like
the
bodyguard of the, yeah, exactly, right? Like her being like an author, same as Harry.
Yeah.
Harry's like, I can come to Bianca's party and speak for the council.
Yeah.
When really he's not in charge of dick all.
Fair enough. To me, that was a little bit like if Ramirez is paying attention, he'd be like, okay,
yeah,
but.
And that is fair. You do make, but I also, it would otherwise have been like Susan showing up and being I'm a duly appointed member of the council.
I'm a reporter for the arcane.
Dude,
where's my invitation, you idiots?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I really do like that this is like not the first time that this has happened, but like Laura really already has his bead and calls him like, was like, told you it wasn't going to be enough.
Oh yeah.
Which is already what like Marcone did. He's like, this is how this guy operates.
Also, and please don't strike me down. The description of Laura to me is like how they describe Aphrodite in books. Like she is
the two page.
As beautiful as what is beautiful to you. Like technically she does have some description. She's got the black hair. She's got, but just
her
the way
lips are slightly too wide.
But the way Harry is always talking about her, he's like, it's time. Timeless, it's undefiable. Yeah. It's just like it's better with every glance. You cannot look away. It's just like,
yeah.
Damn, dude. I get that's the whole sex vampire, but damn, dude.
Layers upon layers. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, it's not all beer goggles. She actually has to be a layer of beauty to start on, not just the whammy doing it all for you. But yeah, but she's this is a great thing too. You must be Ramirez. How the fuck would you know?
Yeah. Dossier.
I bet she's got people. Yeah, and a bunch of the newbies too already.
Well, and Harry does have to remind him of his own notoriety. You're under 25 and you're already like
a regional commander.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. But also this is Laura. And Laura's like, yeah, even the newbies that haven't done shit yet, I got just in case they do something. But yeah, I just love this whole back and forth. It's like, we'll just come back tomorrow.
Yeah,
he's still so funny though, because he's just like,
oh, this is Ramirez.
She's so hot and so sexy. She looks kind of like my brother, and she's so gorgeous. Never beating the allegations, Harry.
He never said his brother wasn't.
And
hot
this
and
is how the fan fiction starts.
Yep, it started a long time ago.
Right, right. Yeah.
But Laura's reaction to Ramirez is just priceless.
Oh my god.
You brought me a treat? A virgin? No.
Oh, that's so mean, Laura. You're so mean.
So
evil. Evil.
That
evil.
Enemy to ally, but let's not forget where we stand. And it is, oh my god. Is he up, Ramirez? And Harry, who's like, well, fucked, but he's like, I can't defend Ramirez now because, yeah, he'll look weak. He'll look like, right, he's got it. And Ramirez does, like, again.
He holds his own. They have a soul gaze.
He doesn't try. Like, obviously, he's like, oh, what the fuck? But he doesn't be like, oh, no, no, so are you. Like, you know, like, yes, he does manage.
Yeah,
to
he waits until she's gone to actually defend himself for that.
But she's like,
but while she's there, he does.
But, yeah, he takes the hit. Yeah, he's like, I can't deny it. Yeah. He doesn't start clustering, and he's like, but
he handles himself well enough like that Laura approves and gives him advice on how to not get taken advantage of
moving forward. Yeah, so you're about to walk into the lion's den there, buddy. Let's get a little of this off of you, please. Yeah.
Now, would everybody who has read the most recent book please take a look at this next paragraph? Laura and Ramirez's soul gaze. Okay, carry on.
I hadn't seen a soul gaze from the outside before. It surprised me how simple and brief it looked when one wasn't being shaken to the core by it. But she really doesn't give any indication
to what she saw.
To what she saw, does. So
well, the implication is that it was a warning to the demon within her.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't really say. They get their safe conduct.
Yeah. They sort it all out. She's like, yeah, here's how to hide your scent.
Yeah. Just a little bit faster, buddy. Just a little bit faster.
So now that the posturing is done, hey, Carlos.
Now he does
lie.
All right, not important.
Okay. Join him in the limo.
Yeah. Now we can get in and take our ride up.
This concludes our episode 18.18, White Court Catnip. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There you have links to other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Ponder by it at your own risk.